You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Did you call?
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standick here for a Las Vegas Summer League edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I am coming to you live from my hotel room on Sunday morning. Got into town yesterday, took in the Wizards' first game of the Summer League. They lost. Of course, the result itself doesn't matter. The game itself was kind of blech for most of it, but they rallied late. That doesn't even really matter. Got a chance to talk to Kelly Oubre, got an update on his knee injury and where he's working on his game. That does matter a bit. Also talked to Wizards Summer League head coach Chad Iske about what he sees happening with his team that he's in charge of and how some of these young guys can maybe help them next year. That's also a little bit important. Yet, of course, the biggest news of the day from Wizards land, that Otto Porter will be back in the fold. The Wizards matched the offer sheet that Otto Porter signed with the Brooklyn Nets. I reported that on Saturday. I guess it was early evening Vegas time by the time that went down. So Otto Porter will get, as we knew, 4 years, $106 million next year. You guys have heard me talk about this enough. I don't really need to bore you. I don't say bore. Screw that. I don't need to get into too many more of these details, though, rehash them. You guys have heard me say that for lots of reasons, including we're talking about a 24-year-old who's had a really good year last year. He's gotten better each year. He was part of a team that, you know, won the most games in franchise in 40 years for the franchise, that almost made the Eastern Conference Finals. I know there's some ifs and buts in there and whatever, but Otto Porter had a really good year. The money, relatively speaking, it's a little rich, but the market is sort of what the market is, and letting him go was by far the worst option, in my opinion. You get no salary cap relief this year or next, and you're letting a 24-year-old asset that another team in the league was willing to give $100 million to walk out the door for free. That's not good business. So in any event, the Wizards kept Otto Porter. That moves us to the next drama of where does John Wall sit with his contract extension, and we'll see about that in the coming days, weeks, or maybe months. And so that's a lot to digest right there. What I'm going to play for you guys here is some of that sound I had with Kelly Oubre, some with Chad Iske. I also have some thoughts on the Wizards game, tell you a little bit about the scene that I got to witness in Vegas yesterday. And if things go well, our friend Adam Rubin from truthaboutit.net, who sat next to me for the Wizards' first game, will be here to share some thoughts. If not, then we'll certainly get Adam on before we both get out of Vegas. Let me just sort of set the scene up here for a little bit. It was, for me at least, it was a kind of a wild, I don't know, hour and a half at one point there late on Saturday. The Wizards played the first game of the day, and they were long gone, but you know, hung around after the game to write about a little bit about the Wizards, to talk to some different people around from around the league, and you know, watch some basketball. I mean, that's kind of what we're all there to do on some level, right? Or on many levels. And then the third game of the day, I guess, on the main Thomas and Mack court. The Wizards played in the Cox Pavilion, which is the smaller, more intimate setting. Thomas and Mack, where UNLV plays its basketball games, is where they had the Lakers and Celtics play. It was a wild, wild scene in there. First of all, they sold out tickets for the overall day. You can with your tickets, you can go to either venue. They sold out, I believe, for the first time they ever sold out the day before a game happened. People, Lakers fans in general, flock there to see their team, especially when there's some interesting players. There's an interesting player this year in Lonzo Ball, of course. His dad, LeVar, was also there, had his own special section right behind the baseline, so he's there doing LeVar Ball things. That guy, say whatever you want about him. He is, you know, six months ago, 9 months ago, nobody knew who he was. Now, he is just iconic at this point. It's crazy the amount of attention he receives and his family receives. In any event, so I went down to the court to watch the game behind the basket furthest away from the Cox Pavilion. There's a huge area where lots of people are just sort of mingling. You see there's lots of former players. Peja Stojakovic was hanging out there. Brendan Haywood, former Wizard, was hanging out there. I did, in fact, talk to him for a little bit on the podcast, and I'll play that on the podcast at some point this week. Talked about his thoughts on the Otto Porter situation, Martin Gortat, and a few other things. There were television personalities there. Ramona Shelburne was there. I caught up with our friend of the podcast, Cassidy Hubberth, there. Other writers and such. But then there were, for this particular game, there was a lot of star action going on. First of all, Magic Johnson was there, former, current Lakers president. He's not running the show over there. Look, you can yell at me all you want on Twitter at Ben Standing, but for me, Magic Johnson, best NBA player of all time. Deal with it. if you also want to yell at me or more importantly, be nice and just follow me. You can do it at Ben Standing or follow us on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. And of course, while I'm here, let me just say, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting so you won't miss any of our coverage here from Vegas. So Magic Johnson took a picture of him. LeVar Ball was standing right near where he was seated. Markelle Fultz, the number one pick in the 2017 draft, he was about to play a game after that Lakers-Celtics game, so he was sort of hanging out. For the Maryland fans, Melo Trimble, who's on that same Sixers team with Fultz, he was also hanging about. And then at one point, there's a hallway that connects the court with the back entrance into the arena. For not an entrance really for the fans, but an entrance, I guess, for the teams, the players, and also some celebrity types. So I'm standing back there, and you can see this sort of entourage of people coming through. And you can tell something is up. I can't quite figure it out. And then I see in the middle of the group is Floyd Money Mayweather. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Obviously, I'm not going to try to pick a fight with him. But he comes through. I was standing 2 feet from him, less than that. And I was about to take a picture or try to take a picture, and one of the guys in his group kind of gave me that look like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd do that if I were you. So I didn't. I got a picture of Mayweather when he was seated courtside, and I didn't see it, but I think James Harden and Chris Paul were there also yesterday. Tons of players there for sure. So then right as that was ending, I decided, right as that whole thing was breaking down, I was getting some news about the Otto Porter situation that the Wizards, even though it was only a few hours to go before they had to match the deal if they were going to it, and I reported that they were planning on doing that. Then they did actually do that. So it was a wild ride for me personally, like a 90-minute stretch where all these people were hanging around, and then the Otto Porter news breaks. So got into that. It was a fun evening, and then, like I said, when I got home, did a little bit of work and crashed. But I'm back at it today. The Wizards are off until Monday. But I will be back at it, the Summer League, today to catch up with some other action going on. The Wizards are practicing out there today, so we'll see if I get a chance to get over there and talk to them as well. As for the Wizards themselves, look, I guess let me just preface everything by saying you got to take Summer League, the good and the bad of it, with massive grains of salt. You got to take the good with a grain of salt because they're playing against a lot of these guys will never sniff the NBA, even those who will play, your first-round picks or your young vets, like for the Wizards, Sheldon Mack, Daniel Oshiefu, Chris McCullough, Daniel House, who was with the team at points last year. You're talking a lot of young guys with minimal experience. So having a good performance against that group, I'm not saying it's not noteworthy, just saying it isn't everything. And on the flip side, in terms of dicey performances, it's worth noting that everybody out there is trying to impress. And, obviously one way you do that, as somebody described it to me, it's, vigilante ball. You're playing, you get the ball. Hey, if I pass it up, I don't know if I'm getting it back. So if I got a contested 19 footer, maybe I'm going to try that one regardless. And you can see some of that happening and, whatever. Also, you're just throwing these guys together just with a few days worth of practice before the Summer League kicked off. So then you got to, preface everything on the downside as well. Now, as far as the individual Wizards, the guy who stood out the most was, of course, Jared Cunningham. He's a former NBA player, sort of bounced around the league over four seasons. He spent last year in China. He came out aggressive, but he came out making shots. Finished with 26 points. I think he was like 7 of 12 from the field. Again, I just caution to say I wouldn't automatically say that, you know, based off of this performance, he's a guy that you should be looking at as a future Wizard. Of course, let's remind ourselves, Glenn Rice Jr. a couple of years ago was named Summer League MVP, and, you know, we know how that worked out. But Cunningham is definitely did his part. He, you know, if these players who are not under contract with the Wizards are there to impress everybody. I don't see how Cunningham didn't do that. You know, we'll see if down the line. The Wizards didn't get Jamal Crawford, right? They were supposedly in the mix for him. I was told by a league source that the Wizards and John Wall, who was helping to recruit, did a very good job pushing the Jamal Crawford scenario, but ultimately it didn't work out. Crawford actually got some real money from the Timberwolves. I thought the Wizards might only be looking at guys on a minimum deal, so I wonder if ultimately that money aspect was a factor. My point, though, is if the Wizards are looking at a Jamal Crawford type, another wing scorer, then maybe somebody like Cunningham could serve that role. Maybe it's a training camp invite. We'll see. I would doubt they would lock him up in advance of that. As far as the guys you're a little more familiar with, Daniel Oshefu had a double-double. He hit all seven of his free throws. I think that's a pretty good sign for him. But he got at it. He got after it rebounding. He was a factor around the rim. A couple times we saw his passing ability. I think that really stands out. You know, of the young guys, he's the one whose spot seems to me to be the diciest of the bunch. I would venture to guess Mac is maybe a little ahead of him in terms of staying on the team. And the fact that it looks like Gortat and Jan Mahimi are both going to be back, you know, I think you need three centers, but, you know, you also have Jason Smith. So Oshefu's role, you know, is maybe the diciest of the young kids, but at the same point, good effort out of him to start. I wrote about, I can't remember if I already said this or not, but I wrote about some of this for truthaboutit.net, our boy Kyle Weedeye's site, so you can check that out there. I will just say, as far as Chris McCullough goes, I said this during our Summer League preview on the podcast, that he was the one guy I was kind of most intrigued to see, because we haven't seen him play. He didn't play at all with the Wizards. He basically hasn't played since early in his freshman season with Syracuse. He then turned pro, was coming off a knee injury. The Nets took him in the first round, and he just basically hasn't played in almost like 2 or 3 years. You can see the length. You can see the athleticism. It's obvious why people would like him. But, boy, it was a pretty rough game in game one. Just looked very unsure of himself, ball handling. I think he led the team with like 5 turnovers. His shot looked off. Again, I just said, take everything with a grain of salt, the good and the bad of these performances. But in a first impression kind of perspective, I don't think McCullough made a particularly great one there. One note on Sheldon Mack is just simply that he he suffered a sprained ankle apparently during their practices leading up to Summer League, and that may have impacted his performance a little bit. But, you know, Mac of these guys is maybe the one we have a little better sense of what he can do. And the Wizards, you know, if they don't bring in another wing guard, he is in line to get some potential minutes behind Bradley Beal and Jody Meeks. So, you know, there's plenty of more to talk about with these guys. I mean, if Adam Rubin comes on today, we'll talk about Mike Young. He was pretty interested in him. He's obviously the player the Wizards just signed to a 2-way contract. I think Devin Robinson from Florida State looks all kind of interesting and athletic. Kevin Pangos, I think, did a really good job running the offense. Again, I don't think he's a NBA roster option, but he did a very good job for what they need at that point guard spot to run the offense. And Daniel House, you know, he played a little bit. You know, we'll see more from him as the week goes on. Again, next, the Wizards are playing on Monday. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I want to say it's the Miami Heat. I think it's Miami Heat then Chicago Bulls. If it's the other way around, sue me. But I think that's the order there. Of course, we'll have coverage of those games. I will be here for the first 3 games, and you know, we'll hopefully get the chance to talk to some more folks from around the league to get a sense of not just the Wizards, but the NBA as a whole. Opportunities like this where everybody's in the same spot doesn't come up very often, so hopefully to take advantage of just that. Now, speaking of just that, Kelly Oubre, as I said, was there at the game. He was making his usual interesting fashion statements. I'll have something about hit about that, as well as his overall comments up on FanRag.com and what FanRagSports.com, sorry, and what that means, what Kelly Oubre really means for this team going forward. I think there's a lot. Kelly Oubre could be a real difference maker for the Wizards this year. But here we go. What he had to say yesterday. I did a tag team the Oubre in this interview with Candace Buckner from the Washington Post. So you'll hear her asking some questions as well. So here we go. Our conversation with Kelly Oubre Jr.
You got a second?
Yeah.
Good to see you, man.
What's up, man?
I'm going to ask about fashion. So.
Well, I was gonna ask. You've got a lot going on here.
Always, don't always.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is there one thing here, like your signature piece at this point? You've got the necklace. You got the
wrist. Yeah, we'll go like studs, man.
The studs that
always gotta have the accessories. You know, the rock star studs, the bracelets. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. I'm always out there.
I hear you're going to New York after this.
Yeah, I leave tomorrow. Look, he just said he wasn't talking about it. I leave tomorrow for New York. I'm going to Fashion Week. I'm the ambassador. I get to sit in front row at the shows. So you know, it'll be the first year that I get to do this because I've been putting my time in, and now I'm getting blessed. So,
Versace?
I don't think Versace has a show. Raf Simons. That's my favorite. That's the show. One of the shows. That's a lot of shows.
How does one pick out an outfit for sitting in the front row? Because I feel like that would be a lot of pressure more than sitting courtside.
This is how a young dude like me picks out his outfits. Fashion Week looks, I create them all myself. I do this. I sit in the crib, work, put together looks. I have my people go buy them. So, you know, yeah. I mean, I've been working. I'm on the court and off. So, you know. But I'm excited.
A little basketball. How's the knee after the BRP?
Got cleared 2 days ago from the doc. Got cleared by the docs. You know, I worked out today for my first, like, full-length workout with DA and staff. Coach Brooks was in there. So great. You know what I'm saying? I haven't really been doing a crazy dunking. I dunked, like, once. So, you know what I'm saying? But I've been progressively getting better. So, it's good.
I saw Drew Handler put out a picture and showed your shot. Old, new? Is that something you've been...
I'll change my shot. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to shoot a higher percentage, guaranteed, so I'm going to have to tell 2K to, you know, boost my rate up. But, so my shot, it's gotten better. I see you out there, man. But, yeah, it's gotten better, so, I mean, I'm excited to, you know, put it in full action.
What's it feel like to be on this side of this summer league after being out there the last couple of years?
I've been out here slaving the last couple of years, you know, mini camps, you know, the game. So it's a blessing. I mean, I'm out here enjoying it, you know, trying to help these guys learn. You know, I've been through it. I can say that now. I've been through it, and now I'm just enjoying myself.
Well, I see my auto picks up dinner tab from now on.
Oh, I mean, I'd hope so. I ain't paying for it.
What do you think of the moves?
I got to make decisions. Ernie, it's not my job to make these type of decisions. It's Ernie's and Tommy, so they got to do what they feel is right. And I just got to continue to improve myself and continue to make sure that I'm the best that I can be. I mean, I'm trying to reach my potential, so I'm not worried about other people. I'm just worried about myself and my teammates. So that's all I can say.
Appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right, there we go. The literal fashion forward, Kelly Oubre Jr., updating us on his physical status, his working on his three-point shot, and yes, his fashion interest. You know, obviously when you think of the Wizards, you know, that starting lineup, which we're going to assume everybody's coming back at this point, meaning, you know, the five starters. And obviously the Wizards have not made any splashy moves, though I do think the addition of Tim Frazier, Jody Meeks, and Mike Scott, if they're healthy, that is the ultimate caveat, especially with Meeks and Scott. I do think the Wizards can improve. We know how bad the bench was a year ago, yada, yada, yada. But I kind of feel like if they're going to make a really big jump, it does kind of feel to me like Kelly Oubre on some level is the guy who could make it happen, which isn't to say that I'm projecting that, which isn't to say that based on what we've seen over the first 2 years, people really like his panache out on the court. When he does stuff, it looks like it's going to go on a poster. I get all that. If he can be consistent, 15, 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, consistent, that 3-and-D style that Scott Brooks has preached that he wants out of him, if that can happen, then I really do think that does change the game, especially if he can also, you know, maybe become more of a leader for that second unit. Which right now, you know, if they go straight five bench guys, again, it should be a better look with Tim Frazier running the offense. They didn't have a point guard last year that could really do that. And Jody Meeks, when he plays, is a 40% three-point shooter. Plus, you've got Jan Mahimi, you know, sort of as that defensive anchor. if that all happens, but if Oubre can really improve on his game, then I really do think the Wizards have a shot. Because, like, I know when people talk about Boston, they say, hey, Jaylen Brown, the number three pick in the draft last year, is going to get better. They're adding Jason Tatum. If Kelly Oubre can give the Wizards more as a really athletic young guy, that's something they don't always have. That would be a huge boost there. So interesting stuff for Kelly Oubre. Good to hear that he's getting back on the court, and exciting to see what he's going to look like come the fall. Speaking of course, the Las Vegas Summer League, the Los Angeles Lakers are pretty much the story of the league. Fans flock to see the Lakers, and of course they want to see Lonzo Ball, and also they have another first round pick, DC area guy Josh Hart. So for those of you interested in the NBA as a whole, I would say check out the Locked On Lakers podcast for the latest Summer League information on Lonzo Ball and all things Lakers.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
All right, after the Wizards' first game, we had a chance to talk to a few of the participants, including Summer League head coach Chad Iske. He's one of Scott Brooks' assistants during the year. Got to ask him a whole bunch of questions. What did he think of the game? Dante Cunningham had the big performance. Some of the more mainstay types, Sheldon Mack, Chris McCullough, some of the guys who didn't play, and what it also means for him as an assistant coach to get this opportunity. So we did all that. It's a little noisy in spots because we're doing it while the game is happening in the arena. But I think you guys can hear it okay. So here we go. Thoughts from Wizards Summer League head coach Chad Iske.
So, like, obviously they were a little more physical to start the game. You guys got down by double digits, made it competitive at the end. What's your assessment of the first Summer League game?
I think a lot of it is just going through the growing pains after just a few days of practice, and we had a lot of guys all new to each other, and I think a lot of guys learned just how physical and aggressive they got to be. It was a good test for the first game, and we know we got to come out from the beginning as physical as our opponent, as physical as they were. So I don't think we really got into the game until we got into it defensively, started to create some turnovers to help out our offense, because our half-court offense never really got anything going, to be honest.
It's clear that obviously the three kids that were on the back of your bench last year have to kind of be those guys, kind of lead you. Was that kind of what you were talking about there, about, you know, matching physicality early?
Yeah, I think, hey, it's time, you know, it's a new thing for them. They didn't get a lot of time with us in the regular season, you know, and they spent time in the D-League or just trying to find their way in practice, you know, so they're excited. They're excited to be in actual games, and, you know, maybe that excitement didn't turn into their best performances, but I think they got this one under their belt, and I think they're going to be ready and be better on Monday.
It has to be good to have a guy like Cunningham, who has been in this league before, hungry, played in China last year, trying to make a name for himself again in this league.
Sure, I think, you know, you get those guys that have been here multiple times. You know, they've seen it, they've lived it. It's nice to have them to kind of steady the ship for us and help these young guys see what they got to do to make that next step.
What specifically does the coaching staff like about Michael Young? Where do you think he's going to fit in? Did you like what you saw today?
I think we're still trying to figure it out. All we know is the guy has a lot of toughness, a lot of physicality. He finds a way to be successful. You know, I think he played a lot more interiorly, maybe in college. I think more the four. We've been trying to experiment with him out on the wing now, just to kind of see what he's got. So he's been really good with having to bounce between the four, the three, playing inside, playing outside. So it's a lot for a young kid fresh out of college to have to figure out one spot, let alone two spots. And I think he's taking it in stride, and he's been good.
How do you guys hope to deploy Keane maybe later in the summer league?
I think it's you know, when you got this many numbers, there's some games where a couple guys just, instead of giving everybody 2 or 3 minutes, you want to give a guy a good chance to play. So I think we're going to have to figure that a little bit, where a couple guys sit and a couple more guys get a legitimate chance. You know, you want to feel like you get a chance to go out there and make a mistake before you're coming out. So we'll just kind of see how that plays out.
There's a lot of intrigue with Chris McCullough, simply because he's basically going to be on the team but didn't play last year after the trade. What do you see out of him? What do you kind of think he could, you kind of want to see from him out here, and how can he maybe help you guys next year?
I think his combination of length and athleticism, there's a lot there. But you see a kid, you know, that's been in the league 2 years, but really don't know how much he's actually played. Got hurt at Syracuse, you know, was injured a lot in Brooklyn, didn't get to play a lot, didn't get to play for us. So I think in a lot of ways we're trying to think of him as, you know, like a rookie, like with some of these other rookies. That he's got to just get playing, get out there and play, and play through some mistakes. But, I mean, his length and his athleticism are hard to deny at times, and I think he's just got to learn how to use it more, probably, in a game situation. But that'll come with time.
Almost the Max ankle during minicamp kind of hurt what he was trying to do today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He got rolled it pretty good last week and didn't really get to do much all week. He got a little bit yesterday, and, you know, I mean, been waiting all year to get this chance, and a little bit unlucky. You know, he said he felt fine. You know, maybe there's still a little bit there. But luckily, we don't play tomorrow, so hopefully he can rest it up and get another day under him and feel better coming in there.
Obviously, the main guys we were expecting to play did play. Some guys didn't. Do you have a plan? Is everybody going to get their shot over these few days, or do you kind of have like a rotation kind of set up to where everybody kind of has opportunity?
I mean, I think obviously the guys that are on our roster and contracts with us, I mean, we want to see them get as much chance as we can. You know, I just listened to the bosses a little bit on some of the rotations of the other guys, but we want to give everybody that's coming and bust their butt for us a few days a chance to get out there. You know, we know we got at least 5 games, and some guys are going to get more than others, but, you know, we want to make sure everybody gets some kind of chance for us.
What does this chance mean for you? I mean, just obviously, I know it's not the regular season, but it's an opportunity.
Yeah. No, it's always great. You know, it's been a few years since I've done it. I've done it a few times before, but under different coaches and with different teams, it's always fun taking what you learn from the head coach in the year and to get your chance to go out there and try to run it, you know, and it's a great learning experience for everybody that gets to do it, especially younger guys, you know, because it's so easy to sit there one chair down, as you'd say, and have all these ideas and things, and how different it is to be one chair over or two chairs over in that seat. You see, it's so completely different. It's a great experience.
All right, and there you go. Some post game one Summer League thoughts from Wizards Summer League head coach Chad Iske. You know, I thought it was kind of a couple of interesting things he mentioned there with regards to, first to Michael Young, the player the Wizards, of course, added to that two-way contract. He kind of said, hey, we don't quite even know exactly what we have here. We just like they like the clay that they can mold, would be, I guess, the way to phrase that. So, interesting player. You know, I'm not even going to speculate whether Mike Young is the best guy that could have used a two-way contract for. They're using it. That's exciting. They still have another one to use. I think Devin Robinson from Florida State is a guy who clearly looks like he could be that guy. But, you know, you never know for sure. I mean, maybe it's even one of the guys. You know, maybe it's Daniel House. Maybe it's even Daniel Oshefu, who was on the team a year ago. We'll see how they go. You know, if they were basically, you know, what are they going to do with that last roster spot? If they were looking to potentially get a Jamal Crawford, then maybe that means they're open to actually filling that spot with a vet. And if that's the case, then you would think that either Oshefu or Mack is not around. Going into Summer League, I would have put the odds on Mack being the guy to stay. So we will see what happens. All right, so the Adam Rubin appearance, we'll wait on that one. We'll save that one up for you guys for a little bit. As I mentioned, I will also play I'll play my interview with Brendan Haywood with regards to his take on the Wizards, and should have a lot more in store for you guys coming up here from Las Vegas. Excited to get back out in the mix over at the Thomas and Mack Center on the campus of UNLV in a little bit. And in order for me to get going, I got to get off of here and, you know, do the get dressed thing. So we'll sign off for now. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Don't forget, subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. And until next time, Ben Standick signing off. See ya.